Hi, and welcome to Our Sexuality,
a podcast where we talk about our sexualities, the LGBTQIA plus issues, and dating so much more. Before we start this episode, we want to hear about your, actually, life, dating stories, and hookup stories. You can email us at tyanddrain@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon, and you can search the Patreon for Our Sexuality. We have the Tic Tac Crew for $5, the Slim Thick for $10, the VIP Plus for $20. And I'm Jermaine Galando.
I'm Tyron Simon.
Yes, this episode is a little difficult.
Well, it's going to be a heavy episode.
So, if you have triggers about death, you may not want to listen. But if you don't...
Yeah, just skip this one. Go to a more happier episode. And then, you know, just tune in next week.
Mm-hmm. So, we're talking about grief. So, both of us have had a lot of death that happened this year. I think you only had one person die this year.
Yes.
And I've had, like, I think five. So, things are different for both of us. Who has died recently for you?
Well, recently, my great aunt passed away. So, she was 89 years old, but
89? She's living a full life.
Yeah. And my grandma is one of six children, and now it's just my grandmother and her brother. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. So the first person that this year was my brother's baby mother. Baby's mother. So she offed herself. So to anyone that's dealing with suicide, stuff like that, I know this is hard for you to deal with. I don't know the specifics of how she chose to end her life, but you know, suicide is a thing that happens with so many people. She left behind three children and a lot of weird thoughts, because to have suicidal thoughts isn't not a shock, but anytime this occurs, it's best to call like the suicidal hotline or talk to a therapist or try best to talk to someone about it so they can help you not think of this or get you through it. That person died. I had a person in comedy. He died, and he had cancer, and his body deteriorated on him. And his death was a shock because we thought he was going to be in remission. We were doing a lot of charity work, so he would get some medications or some type of treatment to better him. I think one of my cousins died of pneumonia like a week ago. So that's three out of the five. There are more than that, but those are the three that I know of off my head. So, of the three, the one that hurt the most for me personally is not one you're probably thinking of. So, I did not know I knew of her, I saw her. So, my brother's baby mother or my niece's and nephew's mom, I did not know this woman. So, the problem is that I didn't have to grieve her. He had to grieve her. So, it's a difference of grieving processes and learning to allow your allow kids to have emotions, and so it's allowing to let your brother, my brother, and people that knew her have the emotions and let them experience the loss. Is he okay? No. Is he taking therapy? Still not yet. And do I hope he'll take the steps to get therapy because it's very traumatic? I hope so. So of the kids, the ages range from my oldest nephew is 12. He just turned 12 last night.
Oh my gosh.
And he is, and so he's autistic or on the spectrum. That's a better version. So he was around there. He was there. All three children were present when that happened. Then I have a 3-year-old nephew. And his thing was, mommy's dead. The way he said it for me was funny. But for other people, wasn't.
You horrible.
So, He said that several times when it first occurred. And then while she was, you know, being buried or in the grave in some form or fashion, we've learned to say she's in heaven now. And you won't get to see her no time soon. But, you know, she's there. And my youngest is my niece. My niece is 1 year old. So there is a lot of fear for her because she's a girl and she's my brother's only daughter. So there's a lot to not have a mom. It's the same for boys as girls, but it's a different bond. I do sometimes think, this is just my personal opinion. So I am a homosexual and me and my mom's bond is just as close as me and my dad's bond. There's some things my mom cannot teach me about that my dad had to teach me about. Like, say, condoms. Like, certain responsibilities my mom could never have taught me that my dad could have. So, having both my parents all my life helped me. Now, they don't have that. So, I've never had to grieve this process for her because it's something that I just didn't have to face. Now, the comedian, that hurt hard because he was only 28. He just had his birthday a month before and he was pretty fucking funny. No, his birthday was in March. I didn't know he was an Aries. It's very funny. So he was quite intelligent and he had great timing and he was supposed to be actually one of the people that I was going to see live. I wanted to see like him doing the next special. A lot of things. He was undocumented. He was an undocumented Mexican male. So his story was different than most. And people ask the question, like, why does it hurt more? Because when you hear someone's life and you know that, like, he was also a virgin, which was like, what? And he lost weight. So to me, when I met him, he was attractive the whole time. I didn't know that cancer actually, we should take a mission libido too. I would have slept with him. I never told him.
Oh my
that.
God.
I mean, I really would have.
Was he gay?
No, he was straight. Okay. So I would never say that to that person. If you are identifying as straight, or unless you come at me some type of way, or I feel a little twitch in your snip, I don't really go for those type of things. Now, a fellow comedian did actually say, I'll suck your dick. And I was like, oh God. I won't say that to that man. But I did have lust in my heart for that man. Golden Girl reference. So, you get it. So,
I did not. Well, okay. Continue.
It's okay. You're younger. So, no. Moral story is,
I watched the Golden Girls. I just didn't get that specific reference. Anyway.
So, the reference goes to when Blanche talks about the president, I think President Carter, having lust in his heart about her.
And you know, she, it's funny because she's dead and he's still alive. But yeah, he's still alive.
Don't talk about Rue. I can't hear.
No, no, but
they are legends.
Of course she is. But I wonder if Carter has lust in his heart for her.
Maybe now. But so those two are like his death for her because I heard a story, and we were around someone for a long time. He was also a friend. He was also very encouraging. He really liked my humor and he liked my energy. I tell people I'm very chaotic energy, but they be like, it's bubbles. I'm like, all right, sure. So he died recently. My cousin's friend, my cousin, so he didn't live close, but I knew of him when we were younger. He was a really chubby baby, like 2 or 3 years old. He was real, real big. So him dying of pneumonia happened and he died recently.
So he was younger?
Mm-hmm. He was like 23.
Oh, okay.
So who else? The person that taught me my comedy bones is, I'm not going to say his name, but his dad just passed about 2 weeks ago. So that hurt, and I'm still like, damn, there's a lot happening around this. I'm sick of all this goddamn death. But, and it's weird because I asked him how he's doing. He was like, and I was like, I know it's a weird question to ask. I asked the same thing to people that knew of the comedian more than me, like as his best friend. I had that. You still ask these questions. It's very weird to tell people this. As a Southerner, I don't process things like other people do. So, personally speaking, you may never see me cry in public unless you know me or we're real, real close friends. I don't like getting too emotional. Emotions are not really for me personally. Unless I know you or you're my person, then I'll tell you everything.
So, listen, Jermaine just has this constant scowl that he just has. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But anyway.
It's true. So, what I'm saying is, as a Southerner, we're taught different. So, I personally grew up with the whole notions of being a gentleman and also knowing that emotions make you, not emotions make you weak, but me being emotional, unless it's at a funeral, I don't really like crying like that. So, when
we had process things different ways. Just because you don't see anyone physically crying does not mean they're not hurting.
So. Oh, no, I'm not. I gather everyone's feelings are valid. But I'm saying, like, for me, I don't really, like, at the funeral for the comedian, that's the only funeral I attended. Like I said, I didn't know that woman. I was never going to go. So, she messed that line up for, like, a long time ago. That's really why. This is why it sounded the way it sounded kind of fucked up. So, the other one. Other friends I couldn't attend. Like, I wanted to be there for other people. And the other guy just died. So, I'm like, the cousin just died recently. He died. I think the funeral will happen probably this next week coming up. But, yeah. It's hard. It's weird to see people with... It's funny because there's a lot of different stories. He did... The guy that, the man following that died, he did say it was funny that someone was like, he was so brave to see him crying. And I was like, huh. Huh. And I do want to say to people, like, as a part of person that's part of LGBTQIA+, if you can embrace your emotions, that's a beautiful process. It's a beautiful thing. Do I embrace my emotions a lot as a creative person? Yes. Do I display that? No. It's just a part of who I am as a person. I don't know why. I really do.
But, well, we all express emotions differently, so.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's a part of, like, the Black culture mixed with being Southern for me. But, like, how do you, when your great aunt died, how did you process it?
I mean, I was sad, of course. It, like, really hurt, especially, like, with my great aunt. So, okay. So, I'm not sure if I talked about it on the podcast. So, my grandmother is from Lexi, South Carolina. It's a little nothing town. You literally pass through on the way to Myrtle Beach, and you never know you were there. But anyway, they all grew up very close to me, and they're all very together. Together, we would have these big family reunions every year in the summertime. Don't know why it had to be the summertime in the middle of hot ass.
We're Black. We do this.
But it was just very inconvenient. Uh-huh. But anyway. Mm-hmm. So we all grew up seeing each other. And even like my, even though my great aunt and my grandma are technically 10 years apart, they would always make it a priority to see each other at least twice a year. Mm-hmm. So either they would come here or we would come there. So, yeah, when she passed, I mean, it wasn't that much of a shock because she did have cancer. But, yeah, it just really hurt knowing that, you know, when we go to Lake City, she's not going to be there. So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird when that happens. But also, like, so my process for that is that people are always around you. So, like,
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about physically.
Yeah.
Like when we go up to that house now,
mm-hmm.
we are not going to knock on the door and see her.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. How do you feel about that? How does that make you feel?
I mean, granted, she was almost 90 years old, so, but, I mean, sad, but I'm at peace with it, for the most part.
So, well, we don't always, when little velvet pop, we were supposed to talk about grief, like, a few months ago, So we're mostly okay with most of the people that died. The only one that's different is that my friend died. He died, I think, the third June 31st. So June 31st, and we had his funeral the 4th. So this is July. That's July 4th. So his funeral was very fast.
And very recent.
It's very recent, and so is my cousin's passing. So it hit. So I didn't grow up with him because he's younger than me. And my other cousin posted about it, so that's how I found out about it. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's who he is. And I knew of him because as growing up, I knew of this little fat, little light-skinned kid that was real, real chubby. He was adorable. But now I say he was really fun. He was really chonky. So I will always think of him as that way. I don't really think of him as an adult. He has, you know, now he has a daughter or a son. So he has a child that won't get to see his dad.
Right.
That has happened recently. That happened a few years ago with my cousin getting murdered. So we're gonna go along with what happened to our first time we've ever received grief. So that'll help us both. And then we'll do the stages of grief. So that'll be like an easier process.
Okay, so let me just... Okay, so when was your first... Well, not really encounter, but when was your first experience with grief?
So I was 9. I was becoming 10, sadly. So my granny, I call her my granny. There's a difference. I have a grandma Hallie, I had a grandma Brown. It's fucked up to call them what they call what I call them, but they were not granny. Granny is who you have the best title, and that's the one that you care about the most. So my granny died in 2000. And she died March 31st. I took care of her last 3 weeks of living. And I was there every day asking her a lot of questions, knowing the hell out of her. But saying he was so sweet, what he did, he was just so weird. So my first stage of death was probably the most traumatic time of my life because I was in fourth grade figuring out a lot about who I was as a person, but also knowing that depression was probably going to come. So when she died, I was mad with God. My birthday is April 10th. She died March 31st. The funeral was, she died March 28th. And her funeral was April Fool's Day. And my birthday is April 10th. And my cousin is birthday, I think, is March 16th or 17th. So he got to see her before she passed. And he got to spend time with her on birthday. We're the same age. So it's fucked up that he got to turn 10 and I didn't get to turn 10. So that was part of it. I was in very big disbelief that she was gone because I didn't get to see her pass. That day, I went down to my Aneta's house, and then all of them went up. My cousin found her dead. She went to sleep. I think she died in her sleep. The day that she died was, they took her to the hospital, and the doctor said, she actually is dead now. But they said, just take her home, and y'all just have her last thoughts for her. She didn't have a pulse, her last day living. And she just was, I think, had a lot of short will. And from that stage of grief, it's her funeral, I cried like a little bitch, or I cried like a child.
Okay,
I sat at the end of a few.
Let's just talk about this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Crying like a little bitch. No, someone close to you mm-hmm. passed.
So
you are allowed to grieve.
Yeah, but
however you grieve. Mm-hmm.
So like I cried. I was at the end of a few, crying nonstop, and it's funny because my cousins made fun of me later. And the other thing was like, well, y'all, you won't know how this feels. And so later on, my grandma Hallie died, and all of them couldn't take it. But I still stayed in the church while the funeral was going on, because guess who understand how that feels. Yeah.
Okay.
So. But more of the story is, so my first time grieving was her, and the funeral happened. The day it happened, it was April Fool's Day, so it was much disbelief, and it was a lot of heartening. It was spring, and it was spring break. So, coming back from school, I was probably numb for a long time. For, I think, the rest of fourth grade, February. And then I think I allowed that I found, never found out I had depression. I just know I had sad times. So that was my first days of grief. So within that, like, crying uncontrollably. And, you know, nervous. I mean, that pain never went away. It's something that I think of time to time. It's wild that it's been 21 years. Imagine, it's wild that she also told me she was going to dance at my wedding. And it's part of the reason why if I didn't want to have a wedding for a long time. It's weird that I was going to always marry a woman and everything like that. But that changed.
Well, we all lied to ourselves.
No, I didn't lie to myself. I was always attracted to women. I'm still attracted to women.
Okay.
But moral of the story is that I can't. If I ever have a, as a, it's a process that of a dance I can't do now. So people always think of like weddings as like some people's most happiest time, but it's also your family's time to celebrate the child becoming an adult. And it's fucked up that people think that weddings happen. I'm Southern, so that one dance I can't have, and that's something that I have to. Remember that one person that won't be at my won't be at the wedding. Maybe in spirit, but no. She passed, and then all my grandparents are gone except my grandfather, and he's a piece of shit. So we don't think of him.
That took a turn. Okay.
Yeah. So the only one that's alive, he lost all his weight because we thought he was dying, and then he didn't die. So God just said, no, you have to stay on my earth. But you know. What about you? What was your first time of grieving?
I was actually 4, so I experienced death very early in life. I don't particularly remember, like, the day that my grandfather died, but I remember the funeral very vividly. I remember being at the casket with my mom, and we were viewing the body, and I just remember, I was 4, I was young, so I just remember, like, because I had never seen a person dead before, so I just wondering why my grandfather was laying in this box and not talking and not moving, and I just was like, I guess I was sort of like hesitant to touch him. And my mom had said to me, it's okay, you can touch him. And you can say what you need to him because this is the last time you're going to see him. So I remember after, I don't remember the service particularly, but I remember after the service, you were in the limo, and I had some shoes on that were uncomfortable, and I just had to kick them off and, and get rid of those things for a second. And I remember the casket closing, and I remember going back to the car, and I remember afterwards, for whatever reason, like, everybody wanted all the grandchildren take a picture together.
Oh yeah, we did the same thing.
So
it was the weirdest thing. It's hard to mess up your story. So we had all of us dressed really nice, and
yeah, like I'll show
we
you the picture.
Took a picture at our house. Yeah, we have a picture too. We won't post it.
No,
on
we're not
Instagram.
Posting it. No.
But it's weird to have all the cousins take pictures and stuff. It's so. I hate to take it away from you, but so when people die, it's actually a day of celebration. So over the last 10 years, they call it a homegoing. And I like that they call it a homegoing, but I do also realize it's not always homegoing. So like,
no.
Say for instance, my aunt, my cousin, my family still grieve my cousin that got killed. So him getting murdered, fucked up. One child, like his daughter, that she does, that she misses him to this day, and she was just like, I think 3, so she's gonna grow up without a father. He had a fiance that was on and off. She'll find love again eventually, Or probably already has. We don't know the process. But all of them have a hole in their heart. So if you say homegoing to someone that is just now almost turning 23. No, 22. He was not even getting people between the two. And his birthday was 3 days. His birthday was on the 23rd from the 18th. So he had 4 to 5 days until his birthday. That's when he got killed. He got killed on his sister's birthday. So his sister's birthday, she wasn't there. But his nephew was there while he got shot. And he got killed on the footsteps of that house. So that's a process of, like, there will not be the same people ever again. We've experienced mostly, I don't know about you, most of our people that have passed, a lot of our family members, most have been older.
Yeah, or they have passed in the more, not traditional, but more of a, you see it coming.
They descended properly. When it's a sudden death, like cancer, it's actually still a sudden death because unless they're in hospice, you still don't know when they're going to go. So the difference between...
But still, even with cancer, you know there's a chance that this person could die.
But see, the thing is, with the process of the person that died, it's the comedian, his death is horrifying.
Yeah, I'm not saying that it's not horrifying.
But I'm not saying horrifying, but it's also pissed the fuck off. I am still more angry at his grieving. I'm more angry than grieving about him dying because his story was meant to be told. Him having the cancer he got is because he went to New York. If he never went to New York and got insurance, he would never have known. He fell out at a store to know that he had testicular cancer. So it's funny that his balls is the reason why he has cancer and he was a virgin. It is the fucked up thing. It's very funny, but it's also fucked up that he is gone. His story of being an immigrant, a person that is, he was an illegal immigrant, or what people don't understand is American, that did what other Americans did to come here.
Mm-hmm.
He came here from Mexico, so he didn't get to get his green card, and he didn't get his process and his papers and everything like that. He had a story to tell. So his story is gone. So, personally speaking...
Well, his story's not gone, because the people that know and love him can still share his story.
But see, the thing is, as a black man,
mm-hmm.
I can never talk about certain things that he went through. I know of his story, but I don't know him. I can't walk in his shoes. So there's a difference of being a tall Mexican man that's also a virgin, that also is hip-hop, also is a geek, also is smart, and also generous. And there's a lot of things about him as a person that people miss. He was a good man. Also, I think his mom's only son. There is grieving that happens on homegoings that people always act like, oh my God, it's a homegoing. We should be happy. Black music playing. Songs happening. Trying to be okay. People crying. And people always say the people cry the most are the people that not so much miss you the most, but also the people that couldn't be there in time. So, like, I didn't get to cry. I'm not going to lie. I really loved him as a person. I really think of him as a good person. I was not that close to this person. He grew up at the comedy place that I go now. He was way different, but he was also very, very funny near his start.
Okay, well, here's the thing. You don't have to be, well, I'm not trying to speak for your grief, but you don't have to be particularly close with someone to grieve them.
Oh, I'm grieving him. I grieve him differently. So my process for my personal goal all week since his death, since that week of his passing, was July 5th. I did Monsticade. Got a lot of laughs. I have improv on Tuesday, so can't do that. Make sure I'm funny. July 6th, a lot of laughs. I was at a black room. I did Laugh Lounge. July 7th, not as sad as the week before, because we found out he died on a Wednesday after, well, I was told after open mic the week before at the Idiot Box where I was getting the money, where I was getting money from. But that's how sudden he died. He died so sudden that they were getting money, we were getting money for him literally that week. So we were getting the money for him. Everyone was trying to visit him. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I didn't know you want, I mean, you want me to talk. I can tell you some crazy ass stories. But end of the day, it's death was sudden still. Because him passing isn't a shock because we knew he had cancer. Right. And we know it's a 50-50 chance of, we know what happened with cancer. People can remember.
Yeah, but someone getting murdered, that's...
That's a very sudden death.
Yeah.
That is horrifying and it's hard to process. They still are not okay.
Yeah.
So, in the process of that happening, my cousin was pregnant. I think she lost the baby because of all the stress. And she now has a daughter now. So much has changed. But there's still, I mean, there's the process of grief, we'll do it after this break. But until, like, there's still a light at the end of the tunnel. For me, I'm okay. I'm processing it sometimes, but I'm okay that he's not, that he's gone, but I'm glad that he moved. I'm glad that he gets to go somewhere. Maybe he goes to heaven. He could believe in God. He may not. But for right now, let's take a break.
Hold on, wait. So before we take a break,
mm-hmm.
I just want to finish out what I was saying.
Okay, my bad. I railed it off.
Yeah, I mean, no, don't apologize because what you said was important. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say that. But with my grief stages, I guess because I was so young and I did not understand what that death meant, because I was only 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was more, well, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
Versus someone who could process it and be like, okay, well, death is just a part of life. It was just like, why does this happen?
Mm-hmm.
For me. So, I guess because I was a young kid and I really didn't understand, I was more resilient with that first death. So, but other deaths we can talk about later. Well, after the break. So,
mm-hmm.
Let's take a break now. Okay, and we're back.
Yes. So, we're going to talk about the stages of grief, which are...
So, I want to get this source right, but you just put in Google. Health Hotline says that the stages of grief are shock and denial, pain and guilt,
mm-hmm.
Anger and betrayal, mm-hmm. or begrudgment, depression, the upturn, reconstruction and breakthrough, and acceptance and hope. So, I would like to ask you, okay, in my opinion, it sounds like you are at the stage with your friend that passed away, mm-hmm. the comedian. It sounds like you're at the anger and begrudgment part.
Mm-mm.
But where do you think that you fall in?
I'm at peace with him passing. It's been only a few weeks. It's all a blur. So afterwards, we went out to eat. I went out with more people and everything. It was really nice. But just a time that we just spent time with people. It's hard to tell people this. I'm a different breed. So personally speaking, like when I found out he died, I cried really hard in the car. I have a go-to song when I want to cry about like someone passing called Up Yonder by Tremaine Hawkins. That's what my name is going to be, actually. So, Tremaine, thank God. My granny said no. So,
well, at least you had a boy name. My name was a whole girl name, but anyway.
Oh, so yeah. It didn't. No, Tremaine actually is a woman name. Tremaine Hawkins is a woman. She's a black woman at a church. And that's a good song. I think Take Me to the King is good. I think Yesterday is good, but it's not really about grief. So there are more songs. I think I Need You Now is good. My dad loves a lot of gospel, so I know those songs. A good happy one is, I think, When We Get to Heaven. This is just a rehearsal, When We Get to Heaven. Silver and Gold is good. I think, and then like a week later, on the 11th, I cried. Not because of that. I was on the I sing because I'm happy. His Eyes on the Sparrow got me going. But I only cry in my car. I don't cry around people. It's weird. The day of the funeral, I cried a little bit afterwards. The last person spoke and that got me. And before, so Thursday night is the Idiot Box open mic. A lot of people knew him. So, yeah. July 1st was hard. It was the first of the month, but also everyone had fucked up emotions. And we got through it, but it was hardcore. And I was like, I'm going to try my best to be funny the whole time. And I am not going to cry today. And I'm glad I didn't. And we're doing it. So, personally speaking, I'm at peace. The sages, he talks about what happens in grief, to me, is a lot of emotions. People for that last stage, that first stage, go from the first to second, third, fourth, fifth, to sixth, and they go back to the first. It's a long thing. So, personally speaking, my granny passing every now and then gets me. My granddaddy passing, no one was there for him in the hospital when he went. That got me the most. That was the most saddest. I got to say goodbye to my grandma Brown. She died of cancer. I got to say goodbye to my grandma Hallie. She died of cancer. She died on Thanksgiving Eve. And I was at work when I got to work, because I went to hospice first. I worked Wednesday, and that's how and they said she's gone that night. And I said, and I took a leave then. I took a leave. My uncle, my Brown died. I don't think I would be the same if my parents left.
So what's going on with me right now? Actually, so my sister, well, you guys will hear this later, but anyway, my sister actually inboxed me and I've yet to reply.
So it's on your father's side?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, well, as you guys may know, I grew up as a only child. I was raised by my mother and my grandmother. But my father, he was not doing so well and he was in the hospital, and now they're trying to see if he's gonna go to a home, or could he live by himself still. And I'm not sure how to feel about that.
So what Tyrus is expressing is not the emotions of grief. His emotions is more of abandonment. So
no, I don't feel abandoned by him.
No. Let me explain. People think abandonment is like, what the fuck? Who is this man? Mm-hmm. No. Abandonment is a person that you may not always, that wasn't there. So there are moments in your life that you grew up, you may have wanted him there for those events, and he may have been there, he may not have been there. A lot of times you probably got said, he's coming, he didn't come. A lot of times your birthdays, let's see, what is it, 5, 10, 16, 18. Was he there?
So the only birthday he ever called me on was my 16th, and I'm pretty sure my sister, who has also passed now, reminded him of my birthday. But for me, if he were to pass, I don't feel like that would really affect me.
So when you come to peace with someone's reality, a lot of the abandonment is like a lot over. I'm going to keep saying the word abandonment because your life is your life. So him being a part of your life, him not being a part of your life, is him abandoning you and not knowing who you are as a person. So he didn't get to know you. No. He may know of you. He may know of your accolades, of you graduating from college, of you graduating from high school, middle school, elementary, first steps, all those things. He knows those things. You now as an adult getting your own place and all those things. He may know those things. He may not know those things. He just knows you're okay. Sometimes parents do things fucked up. So a lot of fathers in the Black community abandon their children. And that's sometimes because of the mom. And sometimes because their reality is that they were not ready to be a parent in time. Or they don't realize, or they don't know how to, they don't know how to love.
Okay, listen. So, apparently, I was the only child that he was not there for, like, he was not there for, like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have, well, he lies about the numbers, because he tries to take some away, tries to add some, whatever. But, officially, I have 5 sisters and 1 brother.
Okay, so.
So, out of all those kids,
mm-hmm.
I was the only one that he was not there for like that.
So, that also is part of, like, them not knowing what they want to do. I am not a father. I'm just at the age where I want to be a dad. So, and I'm an uncle. I've been an uncle for 12 years since, you know, so I had to hold the baby for the first time. So what I'm saying
is, when you become an uncle, you are technically raising kids. So
I mean, yes and no. So I was a cousin. I was cousin raising kids too. That's what I'm saying. So personally speaking, it's not your fault or your parents' fault or your grandma's fault.
I know.
But it's also something that he saw within your mom that he knew that you probably been okay. So sometimes.
No, that's why I knew it was. That's why I knew it was, because my mother comes from a good family. I had a grandfather, I had a grandmother, I had uncles, aunts, all that.
So that's what I'm saying. The abandonment mm-hmm. isn't the fact. So the abandonment doesn't affect people all the time. When he, if or when he does pass, you will feel emotions, but those emotions will vary. Just like, because that's your father. And all because he's your father, birth father, that there's emotions that may come. Honestly, but most of them are old.
Honestly,
you don't know.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know if they're going to be there.
But that's my whole point.
Which, so, for me, that's, I mean, even though,
like, that's, say, okay.
He wasn't a part of my life like that.
Mm-hmm.
Still a little fucked up.
No, it's normal. So, like, my dad's dad died. So, my grandfather, Collins, died. And we went to his funeral. It felt strange. We sat way further down. My grandma was still alive. She died after him. And I said to everyone, I'm so sorry for the loss. My dad said, I didn't know who that man was. I didn't know him. So my dad always looked for his father's approval.
Mm-hmm.
So at a certain point, my grandparents, they divorced. He was abusive. He also was very abusive with a woman. So he obviously, my dad a little harder than anybody else. My dad's trauma. So from that, my dad as an adult, he's one of the only children that, he's one of 5. He made a success and, you know, I was a success. And he also wanted to always buy his ass gifts, and all this kind of stuff. He's always done right by his father. Even though his dad remarried, and the woman he married, and all that kind of stuff. He had kids and stuff like that that happened. So, with your case, it sounds more as though, because you had a more stable home environment, your father didn't see needed. And sometimes when people don't see need, they don't go there. It's like friendships. If you don't feel needed by somebody, you will let them go.
Well, true, because, I don't care if they're here, but, apparently my other siblings, they, like, their mothers were missed, allegedly. But,
so, oh my God, motherhood and fatherhood are 2 of the weirdest things to ever discuss. So, all I can say is this, moms have it hard, fathers have it somewhat hard, and for my brother now, he is now tackling the faith of being someone that has to raise his children alone, And he has to now figure that out. So there's a difference there. But also, I was raised with a good dad. And I had a good granddaddy. And my granddaddy was there until my granny passed. And my dad was always there. And he and my mom had misunderstandings. And he had a lot of growing to do before he married my mom in 1997. So I have a other brother. I have a brother that's younger than me. He had with another woman. And then my parents' mother had a baby by my... They had my brother as a one-night stand baby. And my sister rotated at the wedding. And her birthday is 98. So that describes how my family got it together. But it's normal for black families to have multiple siblings from multiple... You know, it's
well,
it's
not only black, because that can extend to any race.
I'm not going to say any race, because I would say this. Having blended families is normal. Mm-hmm. It's more and more normalized now than ever, because, you know, I mean, we are both black men. So, me saying this about our culture is normal. Me saying that to, like, a Latinx community culture, that was shocked. I would be more like, oh, for real?
Listen, Italian men are notoriously known for having two families. But so, see,
Italian man is more of the, for us, known as a white man, not mm-hmm. a Latinx man. So I don't look at Italian like I look at it as someone that's from Mexico or someone from Puerto Rico. Most of them are very loyal to their spouse. They marry young sometimes. I have a case of that, knowing that one thing in particular. But as far as your dad may passing or not, you will feel emotions. You may not feel as much emotions as some of your siblings, but you'll probably try to be there for them.
You know what? I almost said something horrible, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. I'm going to tell you
after. Okay, you can still say it.
No, I
you can say it.
I don't want that being out there on the air like that, but anyway.
It was going dark.
It was bad. But anyway,
Sorry.
Oh yeah.
So
no, I do not. but anyway,
What's it called? So, how do you prep for a funeral or prep for grieving? Honestly, there's none.
There's no right way.
There's no right way. No. There's no wrong way. Having a discussion with your parents is a big deal. Tyron has had the talks with his mom because of her health scare. We've talked about that around the Christmas episode. We talked about her having a health scare around the Christmas episode.
So, for those who do not, I'll just get back into it. So, my mother actually had a heart attack almost three years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was a very crazy time for me, especially like me being only 23 and unsure of my path, where I was going at that point in my life. That was a hard realization for me that life is fleeting, and that I could have easily lost my mother that day. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
But I do think there's bright sides of when I call it a health scare, because heart attacks are very jarring when it occurs. So is strokes, having a stroke. Having a diabetic
coma
is more unknown, more uncommon. But some people have there's several things that can happen with people that are actually very common. So when that heart attack happened, your doctor, more likely at the hospital, more likely in the emergency room, told you this is common. So you need to get your health in order. That's probably what you said to your mom, correct? Or she.
Okay, so I'm not going to talk too much about what led to the heart attack, because legally we can still sue this person.
Okay, I will say is this. Most cases, when someone has a heart disorder, heart attack, or have like blockage, or have a stroke, most of those things happen because of a lot of things. Stress is a thing, and other things are sometimes common of a thing. But so is, like, your health not being in check. So, because of that, I do know that your mom is, like, you know, very healthy and everything.
Well,
so,
listen, I'm just going to leave it at this. My mother, what led to my mother's heart attack could have been avoided if it were not for malpractice. And I'm going to leave it at that. Mm-hmm. So,
that's one thing. Hold on, I'm so sorry. I was looking at something. So, that's one thing. My parents are older. My dad has diabetes, and he is now on, I think the medication. So, he's getting that injected. My mom has a special thing that I don't discuss. So, discussing death is not easy. And for me, it's something I don't want to talk about, but my mom always does. She, before the pandemic, will discuss it anytime we are out to eat. Every time.
Her health issue? Mm-mm. We'll discuss what?
Anybody dying.
Oh, Lord.
Ooh, that remind me that one person dying. It's like, goddamn, really? Yeah. So, it's not grief. It's funny. It's a time it's like, boop, boop, and they should go again with this. So, for our outcome of this is grieving is something that you can't put a time frame on.
Right.
So, what I will tell you, if you have just recently saw someone, it may take 6 months, 2 months, a week, 10 years, 10 years, 20 years, 55 years. I'm 31. I still grieve my granny. Her birthday is January 29th. I don't talk to people on that day. The day she died was March 28th. I don't talk to you that day. So, my granddad died around the same time, that same month. He got sober. Mm-hmm. Around that time. He's a Leo. His name was Tony. So, you know, I don't really think of that too much. Thanksgiving isn't weird because most Black families love Thanksgiving, not because of the clothes. You know, the reason why is because we call it a...
I was about to say, Thanksgiving is kind of problematic, but yeah.
No, I mean, some people call it Tea Day. So, I just call it a day of, like, family gathering. So, for the most part, before the pandemic, we just gather around family. We've shifted from one family to the other sometimes. My dad has a big family. My mom has a big family. It's hard. But grieving will bring good things too. It brings comedy, it will bring understanding, and it'll bring light, and it will bring darkness. Yeah. So you learning about you having dark thoughts, depression, anxiety, a lot of illnesses are from anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Well,
we learned that.
Before we move on, I just want to, with you talked about your most traumatic death in your family.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, my most traumatic death in my family was when my uncle passed away.
Mm-hmm.
So, my Uncle Carl, who was my... Well, is my oldest uncle. So...
What did he die of?
He died of cardiac arrest, but it was due to his diabetes, and he also had gangrene, which was also from his diabetes. And by the time he passed away, he had his legs amputated to the knees, and he had his wrists. So yeah,
that's
so,
a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. And
how'd you take it when he passed?
Well, we knew it was coming because, like...
I don't like that we knew it was coming.
Well, it's not real, knew it was coming.
Because
but
it's still unexpected.
No, it was easy to see because he was deteriorating in front of our eyes.
Mm.
So, it wasn't like a, oh my God, like a murder. So,
mm-hmm.
But that took the hardest for me because I was at that stage, you know, 16, when you're in between, you just starting high school and you finishing high school, so you're literally slap dab in the middle. So, 16,
Yeah. So 16.
Because you start high school.
Yeah, 16 at 14. Is 14. So 16 was my sophomore year.
Yeah.
Sophomore year.
Well, going into my junior year.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So that was happening for me, and also like I said, with my uncles being those fatherly figures for me, that was very hard because I lost a father figure, even though he was not my father.
No, he was
my father figure.
So we can have multiple people.
And also, he lived with us.
Yeah.
He lived with us for like 10 months prior to his death. He literally...
So this was his last living place.
What? Well, he literally moved not even a month before he passed away. Yeah.
So before we go, people will have one parent. So whoever your birth mom is or your birth father is, yes, they're your parents or they're the people that birthed you. That's how you view it. We're both queer people. So you'll have multiple people in your life that you consider father and mother. So not even just being queer. If you are a person that family is very close connected, a lot of people grow you up. So like, say for me, my granny was like a very big deal because my granny was there since I was born. She took care of us. We watched us after school. My mom had to work. This was a bus stop where they had to go here. So I've always knew of my granny taking care of us. She took care of all her grandkids at one time. She will take all of us. So having her as another mother figure, even like that, not your granny. The granny's the favorite position because they deal with a lot of stuff. And my granny, I ate a lot more stuff because my granny made it. I knew I'd drink coffee because of my granny. I knew I'd do a lot of stuff because of my granny. So your uncle is one of many uncles that also took place of your father. Just like your mom taught you all the women stuff in the world or all the stuff about, like, you know, just growing up. They're father figures that teach you certain things, like maybe wearing a condom or, like, building a business. You're a very successful person.
I should only sex with you. But no, I'm just kidding. But,
my dad taught me how to, like, my dad.
I'm making a joke. We gotta keep it light somehow.
I mean, you gotta keep it light. But, so, I actually, if you want to talk about sex.
No, we're talking about death.
I mean, I had sex around the time my uncle died.
Lord Jesus. But,
if it's been a while, sure, I had relations.
Anyway.
So, it created an issue, actually. But, when that person died, that was a comedian.
But anyway, when my uncle passed, that was a very traumatic death for me because, I always imagined, you know, graduating from high school, I was 2 years away. And now I had to face reality when I graduated, he was not going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
When I got, when I get married, he's not going to be there. Because that age, you're thinking about the future because you're moving, because you're in between, you're moving beyond high school. So, and starting life. So I knew all these big things that were coming up within the next 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was not going to be there for.
So everyone thinks of the future differently. So other than me wanting to be a lawyer when I was little, I've always known I was going to be married. I've always knew of like my granny being there. I never thought that was ever going to happen. So I've always thought of the future at, like, maybe 6. I'm a very different breed. Knowing that you're homosexual at probably, like, or you are very openly sexually, you're open to the sexual spectrum at a young age, makes you grow up faster. So, that's the thing for myself. I've always thought older. And, like, the only thing for me was, like, expressing my sexuality in my 20s is the difference. This isn't about groups that much, but he made a statement. So, grief has a lot of things that can breed and end. So you can find a lot of peaceful things. There are a lot of bad things that happen out of grief too. Like you may have to smoke weed now to calm your nerves or get through the day.
Where's this going?
This is about grieving.
Okay.
Grieving, people grieve differently.
No, you said that just threw me off. Sorry.
Smoking weed?
Yeah. Okay, now.
To grieve?
Coping mechanisms. Coping mechanisms. That's what you mean to say.
Mm-hmm. So people cope differently. I cope a little bit with sexual desire. I'm a sexual fiend at times. So, that's the thing. So, some people are very,
have speaking urges. Of sexual desires, I need to check out Grindr, but anyway. No, I'm just kidding. Keeping it light. Anyway.
Okay, cool. Because I was like, you just said he was a person. Don't know
keeping it light.
There. So, people cope different. My, with my cousin, when he was murdered, they grieved him harsh. So, a lot of alcohol was drunk throughout the course of that week. A lot of weed was smoked. And it was just, and it was a little more, a little other stuff too. So when someone passed until they're buried, it does fuck with you. So if you can't manage when someone passed, well, maybe talk to a friend or a family member so they can be your person.
Or go to therapy.
Seek therapy. Going to therapy is a process for a lot of people. Most Black people need a Black person that will understand them. Go to a group will be a best thing I can actually say. Because my cousin found out he was bipolar because of that event. He was a part of a lot of group activities to grieve. My aunt could have done the same process, and I don't think she did, and that happened. My brother needs to seek therapy. My nephew, he has talking to a therapist. I don't know how many classes or how many sessions he's taken, but it is a process. Do I see the stages of grief from my brother? Yes. Do I still have great stages of grief from my granny? Yes. Do I grieve some of the comedians? The comedian that passed? Yes. I still think of Joan Rivers a lot. I think of Aaliyah a lot. So, there are a lot of people that have passed that you think of all the time. There are famous people that have passed that you think of as someone that you knew. Like Left Eye dying, a lot of people were very touched by that. Tupac and Biggie dying messed up a lot of the Black community. But there's also beauty. You find a lot of beauty out of being broken. Beauty out of being of grieving. You can find it with music. You can find it with writing, and your processes you will never know. Like I sometimes say, get a journal to write all your thoughts down, but also calm down and live. And if you're sad, be sad, but find what joy can be now. Because there are times where you won't realize it, but there's joy in the now. How do you feel that, how do you feel now about your uncle's passing and everything? Are you at peace, or is something that you still...
I'm at peace now because it's been... it's literally been... Now that I think about it, like, it's literally been 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, it took a while to get to that point. Literally almost that whole next year for me to be okay with that passing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do I wish my mother would put me in therapy again against my will? Yes, because when it first happened, so as a kid, I was in therapy. So when I got out of therapy, and my mom threatened to put me back in therapy after I'm passed my uncle, I was like, absolutely not. I'm not going. You're not going to make me do this? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
So, but do I now wish I would have been in therapy
mm-hmm.
during that period? I mean, it would have helped.
Mm-hmm.
But just for me, going back into therapy after being in therapy for so long, for me, that was like, That was the last place I wanted to go at that point.
Mm-hmm, that happens. So, like, my mom said we could have done that same process when anyone else died. I just didn't tell anybody at school. I wasn't that person. But as far as like grieving over that, I grieve on my own. Listen, Lauryn Hill, there's some songs that can make you cry naturally if you just think about the songs. I'm a very late person. So that is the thing. With grieving, I want you to also give yourself time to heal. If you don't feel like you fully healed, sometimes call out of work. Don't mess up your money, but call out of work. If you're not okay.
Well, most companies give you a bereavement period.
But see, a bereavement period is like 3 days.
I mean, yes, some of them. But for like, for instance, when my sister passed away 2 years ago, they gave me like a week.
So it was just a week. And like after that, you're still going to have a loss. And
of, like, of course. Memories
that, you know, that can't be refilled by a person that's gone.
But so, at least they gave me a week to get my shit together versus.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Versus 3 days. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. But like I said, I don't know how I would be if them two died. If my parents died, I don't think I could work anywhere. But I just want you to understand that healing happens. It gives time. Healing is not a one-day process. Healing is something that takes sometimes decades. Sometimes it takes weeks. And sometimes it takes just work. If you work at yourself and self and give yourself some self-love, you probably will heal a lot faster. But there's no right or wrong way of healing. You may be a destructive person like me. Throwing stuff around. Throwing glass. Just get you
going. When have you ever done that?
You don't know my past. But we all say all that too. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you. And that's all for this episode. Thank you for listening. You can hit us on Anchor, Spotify, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to get the ratings of 5 stars. And leave us a review. Especially thank y'all goes out to Anchor. Don't forget about the Patreon. And we'll see you next time.
Well, oh, wait. You forgot. You can follow us on Instagram at the Art of Sexuality Pod.
That's true.
You can also follow us individually at Jermaine Glando, at Mr. Chef Ty. Mm-hmm. And now we'll see you next episode.